And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. It's coming up on 9:22, and we're talking with our city officials today from the City of Manhattan, including City Manager Ron Fear and City Commissioner Mark Hattasall. The commission has their legislative meeting here tonight at 7 o'clock, and there's a couple of agenda items here, including a public hearing. And this is the public hearing has to do with an ongoing project here with Meadowlark. They've, of course, been doing some expansion of their campus up here, and I guess a public hearing is required for the next step in that.
It is. Thank you, Brandon. The City of Manhattan and Meadowlark have had a longstanding relationship. We've issued a number of industrial revenue bonds as they've increased their units on that campus and made improvements to that. There's some advantages that are available to them for issuing the industrial revenue bonds. The city in this function is just a facilitator in that process. And when I say facilitator, we do issue the bonds, but we have no obligations to pay the debt service on the bonds. That's all a requirement of the entity. But during that time that those bonds are open, the land is actually in the city's name. So that's kind of the protection. So if they were ever to default on it, the city would have, could receive it. Usually it's up to the financier of those bonds as to how that might happen. And typically there's quite a bit of value there. So again, it doesn't count against any of our debt issuance. We have no legal obligation whatsoever in facilitating this bonds. There are some sales tax exemption benefits for equipment and materials that they might be using. They're already a nonprofit entity, so they're already tax exempt from property tax in that aspect of things. So sometimes that's the IRBs help facilitate that. But they're planning an expansion for 24 additional independent living units with about 36 underground parking stalls. And as part of that industrial revenue bond process, it's necessary and required to hold a public hearing to allow public comment on whether the folks think that's a good idea or not.
Yeah, it's definitely needed up there. I just had a friend of mine over the weekend tell me they finally got to the top of the wait list after 2 years for one of those duplexes that is out there now. So if they're throwing in another 24, I would assume that they've had a wait list that's going to use those up pretty quickly, assuming that construction can happen pretty soon after the approval here. So, yeah, it's Meadowlark has just been a great partner here in the community with all of the jobs they've offered, the number of people that they've attracted to town over the years that to come here to retire here and end up living the last however many number of years in various different locations out there. So we're pleased to help them out.
I'm curious how this underground parking deck is going to work. Can you elaborate on that a little?
I've not seen the actual design, but okay. Typically a lot of times they'll build it into the side of a hill, and so the parking is actually on the surface. They don't actually go down. I'm not sure on this particular one, and then they build over top of that. You know, it might be a surface level in the back, but in the front it's ground level entrance to the unit, so... But it's very hilly up there, and so I'm guessing that might be one of the things they're doing. But as we've seen with the other developments, that seems to be a more reasonable way of doing it, as opposed to trying to dig down into a basement for underground parking.
Well, that expansion's come together pretty nicely, and I know that it's kind of improved kind of some of the aesthetics of that area. If you're going down Tuttle Creek Boulevard, you look to your left and you see the brand new expansion. It's quite a nice addition to the community.
Yeah, they've had a number of expansions over the years there, and different formats, different offerings. Whether it's some of the duplexes that Commissioner Hattasall mentioned for your very independent living, and then you can graduate into more of an apartment style that's still very much on your own, and then into partially or full assisted living, depending on what the needs might be. So it's they've got a lot of wonderful amenities out there, and a significant employer in the community.
I know it's kind of hard going into that shopping center. They've made some improvements there. But making a left-hand turn out of there is pretty dangerous. I don't know if there's a way we can eliminate that at some point on Tuttle Creek Boulevard there. Is that a possibility?
So I know that there's some additional work to be done. I think the work actually on Tuttle Creek Boulevard, that turning lane into that new facility, needs to be longer. I don't think it meets a warrant. As I recall, I didn't see a analysis that would require what we would call a three-quarter turn, which is something we are building on Kimball for the NBAF service drive, where you can go left in, right out. Can't go left out. So that's certainly something that we can watch in the future, because that traffic is coming at a pretty high speed. But I don't believe that's being constructed initially.
Okay. Yeah, it's difficult, because if you go up the hill, you can't really see over the hill the traffic coming. I mean, you can see a little bit, but yeah, a little dangerous intersection there. Other items here on the agenda tonight, I guess, will there be a vote on this tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. So there will be a vote. And then the other item tonight is the big one, and we'll probably spend part of this segment and the next segment here on this one, and that's the having to do with the airport runway. Tonight you're going to review the reconstruction plan.
We are, and the commission last saw it when I think we were about 60% design, and the cost estimates were actually higher at that time, and so they've tried to find some ways to reduce some of those costs, and part of that is to do some really rubbleizing of the existing surface and reusing that for the new base. It does require to elevate the new runway. They've proposed a few other changes in the construction sequencing and process that I think have also saved some money and have been submitted to the FAA for final approval. One of the things that, and so I think from a design standpoint, there's not a lot of changes. Obviously, this isn't something we do very often. It's been 60 years since we've done much of other than maintenance to it, which can be done fairly quickly. But we're replacing that full runway. And so when you're doing something like that, it is going to take time. It is going to require us to shut portions of the airport down and completely shut down for a couple of months in that process, because as you're raising that runway, that means we're also raising the intersection of the crosswind runway and the main runway. So those tapers have to be improved on the crosswind runway. So there's a period of time where the entire both runways will be closed for utilization, and those will occur in 2023. So the what we're asking the commission tonight is for authorization to go out to bid. One of the things that we're waiting on Congress is to they did a temporary continuing resolution for funding. It's what we're hearing is they're probably going to do another continuing resolution for funding. So we have about a 95% grant funding for this project, and they're really looking for, they'd rather have an appropriations bill that approves the funding for the entire year, as opposed to these. It's hard for them to issue a grant when they don't have that physical authorization to do so. So that may delay some things a little bit. And so we're kind of watching that pretty close, but we want to be ready. Once they get the authorization and the funds, that they can make us a grant offer to be able to bid the project.
It's a little bit frustrating, the fact that I think 2019, pre-COVID, we'd had like 4 years of increasing records of number of emplanements. COVID comes around and things tank and bottom out, and now we're back up to 80, almost 90 or more percent of our peak number of passengers from 2019. And I suppose by the time we get around next summer, we'll be almost at a new level of new record of number of passengers in and out of Manhattan. And then we have to shut it down and kind of start that rebuilding process of getting our passengers to go use the Manhattan airport again. And so it is a necessary evil. And like once every 60 years, I suppose sooner or later that has to be done. But it just seems to be, it's got to be a little bit discouraging for the airport folks out there that things get going well and then they tank and then they can get going well and then something else comes along. But hopefully that'll be the last one of the things that causes any kind of a drop.
Yeah. Well, this will certainly be something to watch. I'll tell you what, we need to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion in a moment on the airport runway. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.